You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 410.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. Hi over there.
Yeah, I'm way over here somewhere. We're recording by Zoom today.
We're doing the happy social distancing dance.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder why we're on Zoom today, you know? Things are scary right now. Things are weird. And we're with you. We're okay right now. We hope you're okay. And we're thinking of everybody. We have friends in the podcasting community. Podcasting friends of ours have already been directly affected. So things are scary and weird. The podcast goes on. We're here for you.
That we are.
If you need a break from the insanity of the world, well, you've come to the right place. That'd be Chicken Town.
Chicken Town is a very big place, Kevin. Big enough that we can practice social distancing and still have a good time.
So let's do this. I think we're going to catch up on what you've been up to for the most part for this show, because you were off traveling. Just in time, you got your traveling in. Good job.
Thank you.
And you're back. I've actually seen you. We got together right after you got back, but that was like a week ago as we record. Maybe we'll touch on that if we have time. But bunch of stuff, I think, that we're going to try to knock out for this show. So, Cornflake, it's been several weeks since the last couple of weeks were fill-in shows with the mayor. What do you have to get us started with National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Oh, this one is a gem, Kevin. March 18th is National Awkward Moments Day.
That is perfectly appropriate, because I feel like everyone's going to be having a lot of those.
Yep.
Wow. Awkward moment. I have so many awkward moments constantly.
I do too. I was about to just mention that my life is a series of awkward moments. That's just how I roll.
This is the day for us.
It very much is our day. And yet, as I think through all of the awkward moments I have ever had, and all the times I tried to kind of land on my feet anyway, I'm having a hard time picking exactly which one I would pick as my, what would you call it, your favorite? That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Your all-time favorite awkward moment?
My all-time favorite awkward moment, but actually, I did just think of one. Like, but who wants to share their awkward moments?
Do it.
Okay.
This is one of the only safe ways to share things anymore, so go ahead.
Okay. If you have to edit this one, Kevin, I have another one. So
I'm hovering over the edit button right now.
Okay. I was in eighth grade, and I was wearing a two-piece bathing suit for the first time, borrowing it from a friend.
Wow. Your classroom was way more open with their dress code than mine was.
Well, this wasn't a school event. This was during the summer. But okay. But I was an eighth grader. And I had a friend who's kind of like an older sister to me that loaned the bathing suit to me when I had nothing to swim in because there was a pool and it was a hot day and it fit. So I got into the pool and I wore it and it was strapless. So I was told, you know, no diving into the pool or else you're going to lose the top of your bathing suit.
Sure.
No problem. I just won't dive. But what I didn't think about, Kevin, is like when you push off the side of the pool, it kind of projects you forward in such a way that if you do that with a strapless swimsuit, it rolls down. So there I was halfway through the pool, but I'm thinking, I'm underwater. Nobody can see me.
Nope.
So I'm like, okay, I'm good. I can save this.
And then you remembered Aquaman.
I did.
Oops.
No, it's worse than that, Kevin. I held my breath long enough to get that bathing suit back into place, and I popped out of the water completely satisfied with myself. I'm like, well, I've done this. Nobody saw me. What I didn't realize, Kevin, is that I had put the bathing suit back on inside out. So everybody knew what happened.
Wow. That's kind of impressive.
So that's one of my favorite awkward moments. What about you?
Exact same story.
Oh, man. Did nobody tell you not to push off the side of the pool when you're wearing a strapless bathing suit?
You know, now I know better.
Oh, well, was yours hot pink, too?
You know it, sister.
Happy National Awkward Moments Day.
Yeah, that's definitely a day for us. Okay. I guess I want to throw this in. I have sort of a follow-up National Whatever Day. Actually, as we record this, we're recording this on March 13th.
Uh-huh.
And today, Al Jaffe from Mad Magazine, legendary cartoonist Al Jaffe, is 99 years old.
My goodness.
I wanted to throw out a little birthday mention of Al Jaffe, because, man... This is the guy that does the fold-in, the Mad fold-in, you know, in the inside back cover where you fold the thing in. And he was still doing that until, like, just a few months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
He just retired from drawing for Mad.
One red balloon for every year of his life.
That's right. That's how Nina would celebrate Al Jaffe's birthday.
Wow.
Yes. But, yeah, the Mad fold-in and snappy answers to stupid questions. And I met Al Jaffe right around when we started the Flopcast. I met Al Jaffe at Boston Comic Con, which was just an honor. Anyway, in an era where we could use a bit more silliness, there's our leader for you. So happy birthday at 99, doing it Nana style. As you pointed out, happy birthday, Al Jaffe.
As we like to say, wow.
That's what we say. Is that our new Flopcast catchphrase? It's just, wow. We're completely out of ideas, aren't we?
We are.
I know we have to talk MarsCon and we have to talk your new record. What order are we working? Because we wanted to catch up on the Cornflake Book Club, your big project for the year also. You're steering the ship. Which way do you want to go?
Let's start with the Cornflake Book Club.
Okay. This was your New Year's resolution, was to reinstate on an official monthly basis the Cornflake Book Club.
And I can tell you how well I've done with it so far. January, I hit the nail on the head, and you were the first friend that I asked, what book should I read?
Getting a recommendation from a different person every month.
Yes, and not just a different person, but somebody that I consider special and dear to me. So,
oh, by the end of the year, you're going to be turning to your enemies, I predict.
You think they'll have more interesting things to suggest to read? Because
you're going to be reading the worst books and thinking, why did I ask my enemies?
They wanted me to suffer.
But I started you with a good one, right?
You did. You even admitted after I got myself into it that it was a bit of a catch.
Yeah.
Because it is volume one.
Of six.
Of a comic book series of six. But I'm glad you got me into it when you did, because a television adaptation has been announced for this. So.
Oh, really? I had not heard that.
Yeah. And after reading it, totally not surprised either. I think it will make great television. Paper Girls, Volume 1.
Paper Girls.
Science fiction mystery comic book series written by Brian K. Vaughan and illustrated by Cliff Chang. Frankly, I was planning on discussing this with you much sooner. Plus, I was trying to adhere at that point to my one book a month goal. Little did I know that we would record a bunch of songs and then I would run into a bit of a snafu getting my album ready, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, you've been busy.
Well, I've been busy and I've been hindered.
Yes.
I had a couple of things working against me, but Paper Girls.
What'd you think?
I was introduced to Erin, who seems to be the lead character of the story, Mackenzie, KJ, and Tiffany, four 12-year-old newspaper delivery girls in a suburb in Ohio, delivering newspapers on the morning after Halloween. But right from the beginning, there's this air of mystery, and it just, it seems like something's not right. And then it goes from this like slight sense that something's not right to a full blown, wow, this definitely is not right. Even when you know something is up, you can't begin to imagine what is about to happen to these girls.
It's set in the mid 80s, but it's also, yeah, it quickly unfolds into science fiction and time travel and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it just keeps getting crazier because I'm several volumes in at this point. The whole thing's done. The sixth and final volume has been released. I have not read it yet, but yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, this is a book that the Cornflake Book Club highly recommends. And you keep suggesting to me that I watch Stranger Things.
Yeah, I've done so many podcasts and convention panels about Stranger Things. And I usually, if I remember, I throw in a recommendation. Fans of Stranger Things, you should read Paper Girls. And yeah, the reverse of that is true also. Fans of Paper Girls. Right. You're probably the only person who's read Paper Girls and has not yet seen Stranger Things. So this applies only to Cornflake. But Cornflake, you should also watch Stranger Things.
Well, now that I know that I like Paper Girls, as weird and as dystopian as it gets, I could definitely buy into Stranger Things if it's as cool as this.
Yeah, and it's not like you can leave the house anymore.
Right.
So you're completely out of excuses. Watch Stranger Things. And as promised, if you can make it all the way into season 3, Lamal, the music of Lamal
awaits me.
Your reward. Yeah, yeah. Get through the whole thing. You get some Lamal coming to you.
Totally worth it.
As seen in concert by you and me last year.
That was so great. Also, as I rave about the storyline here, the illustrations, like the art of this comic book series, is also so good.
Yeah, Brian K. Vaughan, I've read a lot of stuff by. I will read anything that Brian K. Vaughan writes. So I've read Why the Last Man and Ex Machina and Saga and all kinds of stuff. One of the best writers in comics these days. Cliff Chang I was aware of, but I've not seen a lot of his art until Paper Girls. I know he had a nice run on Wonder Woman a few years ago, so he's been around, and yeah, terrific art.
So thank you for recommending this to me.
Yeah. So what's going on now? Are you just locked in? Just every month you're going to read another volume of Paper Girls, or is it, do you have to move forward and get other recommendations from other people?
I have to move forward because I lost February, Kevin. I just completely lost it, and so I need a recommendation for February, but I think I know what March is going to be. But I, you know, I'd love for all of you who are into this to hang with me for the Cornflake Book Club, because we've got more interesting reads on the way.
Okay, so at some point you'll provide more details on what the upcoming titles are for your book club project. And yeah, maybe other people can read them, and then maybe we can discuss them in more detail at some point. We'll figure it out.
Yep. And it's probably going to be something completely different from this. I think we're going to wander all over the avenues of genres and styles.
Sure. You could read about paper boys.
I really could.
That's the kind of range we're talking about, people. From one extreme to the other.
So many different scopes of paper delivery.
All right. There's the Cornflake Book Club.
Doing it about as well as any New Year's resolution I've ever had.
There's always a little catching up involved, but that's fine. So as we said, you've been crazy busy all year because of the project that just kind of wrapped up more or less, although there's still, it's going to be ongoing because of your album and whatnot. As we mentioned, there's a new Cornflake album and there was a new Cornflake performance at MarsCon, because you just got back from MarsCon. So let's get into it all. Talk us through the saga. Speaking of Brian K. Vaughan and Saga, the saga of Cornflake. Finally recording, releasing an album, and performing at MarsCon. What happened?
I totally did. Kevin, I should have made making an album my New Year's resolution, because...
You'd be done.
Yeah, it would be done, but it seemed like pie in the sky at the time. Even when I set and charted a course to do it and did little by little so that I wouldn't be overwhelmed at the last minute... Well, that was the plan anyway. And you know what happens to best laid plans. And I reached out to friend of the Flopcast, Jacob Holler.
Yes.
And I said, you know, do you want to go on this musical adventure with me where I make an album and you play the music for it? And then we debut it at a sci-fi convention called MarsCon.
You went through every musician in Rhode Island, right? You started with Jeffrey Osborne. Then you went to John Cafferty, and then Jacob. Jacob said yes.
Yes. So the plan was hatched, and we started And just one by one started asking people. I asked you, Kevin, do you want to do vocals on the album? So, Kevin, you're actually on one of the tracks on the album.
Yeah, I said talk to my manager.
You did.
My manager's a chicken, by the way.
She's the best.
Yes, you went out to the hen house and checked with my manager.
And she made it happen, and so there you are. I asked Doornail for some help. And then I asked my friend TV's Kyle Carroza, if he would engineer the album. And people just signed on to help.
This was a USA for Africa style gathering of the greats.
It was. And so I was doing things like I was like renting out recording space and being a real big shot.
I guess.
At one point, you, Jacob, and I were supposed to meet to do some recording on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes, you had actually rented out professional space for rehearsing and recording. And that's already, you're way beyond anything I ever did. You know, I've had a band for decades and we have released albums. We never used any kind of professional space for anything. Yeah, we were scheduled to record. I was going to go down to your actual rehearsal recording studio space, and I was on the way down. I was in transit.
When I called you.
I made a stop on the way at Rubber Chicken Comics to get my comic books, because I'm a nerd.
Right.
Yeah, then the text came in from you.
And it was, don't come.
Yeah, John Cafferty said yes, so we don't need you anymore. Bye.
I had picked a space that I had explored at 6 o'clock at night on a Saturday. But hey, you know, show up a little bit earlier in the afternoon and all the bands are there recording. And it turns out the space was not soundproofed.
Yeah. So you and Jacob are there ready to record. And then like Twisted Sister is in the next room.
Twisted Sister is in the next room. And in the room next to that is a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band. And in the room next to that, it just sounded like somebody was having indigestion with a really loud guitar.
Right. That was Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh my gosh. And what's more is even if there hadn't been noise, I pretty much had full-blown laryngitis.
Well, that's the perfect time to record an album.
I still soldiered on with laryngitis. I taught Jacob all of the material.
Yeah.
We have recordings of those sessions, and I sound terrible. Oh, it worked, though. We got Jacob's guitar tracks done that day, but I lost my voice for a good 3 weeks.
This was really coming down to the wire as far as, like, you had to have your album completely done in time for MarsCon.
Yep.
And it was getting close. Were you freaking out?
I was beyond freaking out, Kevin. I was devastated. So the Saturday before MarsCon, my voice is back. And after not having a voice for weeks, Kevin, by and large, these tracks all came out on the first take.
Just cranked them out.
I cranked them out, and I was done 15 minutes before our session was over.
Right.
I did not move. And the fact that there were not many takes and much practice, I think, kind of shows on the album.
Well, you know, I listened to the whole record again today, earlier today. I was running. I was out doing my 5K run this afternoon, and I put on your album while I ran. It sounds to me, it reminded me of, like, you're at a convention, like, sitting in a song circle with people.
Yeah.
You know, that it has that intimate, it's mostly just voice and acoustic guitar and these odd, quirky little songs. And it's really special.
Thank you. And that's really what I wanted. And that's really the kind of album you should expect to have when you don't normally make albums and you've got a short amount of time. The album is called I Don't Know What You're Talking About. And I think I Don't Know What You're Talking About is kind of the best name for an album like this. But yeah, they're jokes set to songs. They're silly ideas set to songs.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, some of them are straight out comedy songs. There are songs with a funny premise and jokes, and that's great. Some of them are parodies. Some of them are just getting in that bizarre mind of Cornflick. We're just diving inside this girl who's way into lobsters. Okay.
So then I hand the tracks off to Kyle, who has his own performance to get ready for. And at this point, I'm not expecting to have an album to sell at MarsCon, because I wasn't about to say, now get this done before MarsCon.
Yeah, or else.
And so I didn't expect him to. Kyle pulls an all-nighter, adds some vocals of his own.
Yep.
And gets them to me like a total champion.
Wow.
So.
As we say around here, you know our catchphrase.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our catchphrase. And I took a cue from the Sponge Awareness Foundation playbook.
Ooh, that's my band.
Yeah. So I took an idea from you guys and I put my album on memory sticks to sell at MarsCon.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time in the history of recorded music that anyone's taken an idea from the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Well, you guys know that I think you're great.
But yeah, when Sponge Awareness did a concert at MarsCon several years ago, we were invited to do a show there. And we put together little USB sticks that we just loaded up with Sponge Awareness stuff, like both of our albums, plus a bunch of extra tracks and posters and photos and music videos and stuff. We just threw a bunch of junk on USBs and sold them to all the wonderful nerds of Minnesota. So you went that way as well.
And it has on it the 9 tracks, which include a parody, which happens to be an ode to Tony Danza.
Yes.
So if you get your hands on the USB version of this album, you will see a picture of me with Tony Danza. And some really great album cover art from a friend of the Flopcast and a friend of the MarsCon scene, and a comic book artist out in Minnesota named John Sloan.
Yes.
And he came up with something just really awesome and really fun. Kevin, did you want to describe the album cover?
I'm looking at the album cover right now. It's goofy and crazy, and yeah, it's kind of perfect for what you've done here. It's telephones yelling at each other, right?
Right. So it is a cell phone shouting at an old-timey phone, like a rotary dial phone.
Yeah, it's a very, very funny, very weird cartoon image, which is absolutely perfect for this record.
Yeah, had everything ready in time and got to debut the album at MarsCon. And I released it not as a Cornflake album, but a Cornflake and Jacob album. We released it as a duo. And I am working on getting this album up online if people want to buy it.
Sometime very soon, this will be widely available through the various expected online sources to get music, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Your iTunes, your Amazon, all of that.
And we'll let everybody know.
So yes, album was ready for the big release show, which was at MarsCon. And this is a group of people who've seen me before, so I kind of have to have some new songs. And I have to make things interesting. So I flew Jacob out there to join us for the performance. And speaking of having that kind of song circle sound, there is a song circle at MarsCon. There's the Space Oddity Brewpub.
Yes.
That Beth Kinderman and Dave Stagner of the Feng Shui Ninjas, they run every year. And when I brought Jacob up to the Space Oddity Brewpub, it was as if he had found his people. Like, I could have just left him here there the whole rest of the weekend.
He's still there.
He's still there. Well, I'll tell you, we went up there on Saturday night because Beth reached out to us after our Friday show and said, you know, I'm so sorry I couldn't be there. I had to run the party room, but please come up and perform some of your songs up in Space Oddity.
Oh, how nice.
But as delighted as I was to be there, because I have early morning commitments at MarsCon, I held out to about 10:30, and 10:30 at night, I couldn't keep my eyes open. But I mean, Jacob was there till all hours of the night.
So we're kind of jumping into the middle of MarsCon now. This probably doesn't have to be as much of a blow by blow every instant of your MarsCon experience, just because we had to spend some time on producing your album. But
I should talk about my show.
We jumped clear over the Cornflake and Jacob concert. So MarsCon, as we like to reset every time it comes up, it's a science fiction fantasy convention in Minnesota that we love and we go every year, or at least you go every year. I've had to miss a bunch of them now, but many friends of ours are there every year. And our buddy, the great Luke Ski, runs the Dementia Track there, which is a whole series of funny music concerts, which runs through the entire weekend. And you kicked off the Dementia concerts this year. The Cornflake and Jacob concert started the whole thing off. You're also running your water aerobics classes as usual. And by the way, they were plugging your appearance at MarsCon every week over on Earth Station 1. They do the con report for all the appearances being made by people who are part of the ESO network. And it was very funny listening to Mike over at Earth Station 1 ponder the idea of what in the world happens at Dementia Water Aerobics. He's fascinated by it. He wants to see video. He wants photos and video.
I think I can probably come up with some of that. There's not a lot available because, I mean, people just don't like to be filmed in their bathing suits. Good thing.
Well, yeah. You don't want to be a perv taking video of people in the pool. Nevertheless, Mike over at Earth Station 1 really wants to know what in the world's going on. But I digress yet again. Let's get back to it's Cornflake and Jacob doing a concert, kicking off MarsCon Dementia Track. And I'm going to ask, how did it go? Even though I kind of know how it went because I did watch it online.
You tuned in. I was so honored.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I was back here in Chickentown in Massachusetts, but I was waiting for you to go on and I watched your entire concert. But talk us through it. What was it like doing a concert at MarsCon?
I got there 15 minutes before the show and I'm ready and Mikey Mason is on stage doing a sound check and it's fun and it's funny. And then there were technical difficulties and time is going by and the show is not starting. And so Dornail, Jacob and I are just backstage, just waiting. And so we had practiced all afternoon and we had witty banter ready to go all out the window, Kevin.
Right.
I couldn't remember any of it by the time we finally hit the stage.
There will be no witty banter. Deadly serious for this entire show. Now, also, I should say, I've been backstage at MarsCon. When you say that you were backstage at MarsCon, I don't want people to picture you just lounging in this lavish, fancy green room area. It's like you're squished into a little tiny spot off to the side of a stage behind the curtain, just surrounded by
gear,
guitar cases and stuff, and you can't really move.
Well, there goes my plan to like paint it as something elegant. Yeah, it's exactly as you described. Still, though, when I did make it out to the stage, I looked out to the crowd and there was a crowd that felt really good. And I sang a song about how I met Tony Danza at Super Mega Fest and I put my picture up behind me of me and Tony Danza during the song. And
that was cool. You had the giant video screen up behind you. So I like that you used the video screen.
To be honest with you, I need to go back and watch my own show because I was so nervous that I hardly remember any of it. I remember a couple of things. I remember singing some harmonies. I remember singing about lobsters. And then I remember ending the show with a very new and very different version of the song that people tend to know me for if they know me at all. And that's Toenails.
Yes.
I went to Kyle and I said, can you make a version of Toenails that I can use during Dementia Water Aerobics? And so I said, can you make Toenails sound like that Harry Belafonte song, Jump in the Line? And that is what he came up with. And I thought, well, there's only one way to make this more exciting, and that's to launch lobsters out at the audience. And so there were little tiny stuffed lobsters, and Jacob and Dornail were throwing them out to the audience, and they started a conga line. And that's how we ended the show.
That was fantastic.
I had so much fun with that. But then just afterwards, I just sat in a complete stupor. It overwhelmed me a bit. I loved seeing, like, Mikey Mason was so much fun after that, and Devo Spice. Great things happened that night, and then I kind of watched everybody else that went on after me, and I can say this much. I mean, these are people who know how to entertain. It's what they do, and their shows were tight.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowds loved them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great night of music. Up bright and early the next morning for MarsCon, Dementia Water Aerobics, and like always on Saturday morning, we filled the pool.
Everybody gets up early and gets in the pool, and then you make them miserable.
I make them work really hard, and there was a lot of exercise, but You know, this year, Kevin, we planned ahead a little bit. We also had water shipped this year so that people could have water bottles and stay hydrated after exercising.
Why? What's wrong with the pool water? Babies just drink the pool water.
And the hotel seems to like the water aerobics program. Nevertheless, they still get freaked out every year when I go to the front desk and I ask if there's an AED ready.
I remember. We've been through this before. Yeah, for some reason, they're a little concerned when someone strolls up and says, hi, you have an AED here, right? For, medical emergencies? Thank you.
The way I say it is, I need to know that your AED is ready.
I need to know right now.
But I'm rushing to, like, get ready for the event. And so I seem like I'm out of sorts and I ask for an AED and everybody worries.
Right. You come running up out of breath. Excuse me. You have an AED, right? I have two questions. You have the AED? Yes. And my second question is, do you have those fresh, warm cookies here at the front desk? Some hotels have they give you a cookie. Do you have those as well? Those are the two things I need. Thank you.
Well, we got past that awkwardness and we had a good Saturday morning session. And then we had the dementia wrestling smackdown with all of our likenesses, the performers of the weekend the video game.
So you must have been competing in this one again this year because you were doing aerobics and you were doing a concert. Was there a video game version of Cornflake once again competing?
There was, and she even had longer hair just like I do because I've been growing my hair out. So we get an upgrade. But did you hear about who was the winner this year?
I've heard nothing about Dementia Smackdown Wrestling this year. How'd it turn out?
Luke Ski won.
Hey, wow.
Ski won.
Okay.
He was one of the performers on Saturday afternoon, which kicked off with Michael William Hunter, who I think might have been the act that I was most excited to see. He is a parody guy, big into Weird Al. He's doing songs about Batman. He's doing songs about Marvel Comics. And he even had a really weird parody about that critically panned, really weird movie called The Room.
Oh, yes. I know that.
Bad movie. He had a Roxette parody about that.
A Roxette parody?
What? Yes, he did.
All right. I like that. I would like to hear that.
I will send you the video of it. It was good. But I think what delighted me most was a parody of Lou Bega that he did, that Mambo No. 5 song. Kevin, he sang as many digits as he could get of the number pi, and it was Mambo No. pi. So good. And it was hysterical.
So he's still going. He's still singing it, right? That's an irrational number. That goes on forever.
Yeah, he can't stop. He realizes toward the end that it goes on forever, and he's still there singing all the digits of pi to Lou Bega's song, Lou Bega's only song.
Yeah, I knew which song you meant when you said Lou Bega.
So great start to Saturday, which also features the guest of honor. That was Lauren Mayer, and I'll tell you about her in a minute here. But after Michael William Hunter came an act out of California called Il Neige, which is French for It Snows.
Yep.
And what I expected was him singing a bunch of songs about Pokemon, and I wasn't sure if that was really going to be my thing. But he does parodies of, like, The Killers and stuff, and some songs that sound like Weezer, and actually goes way beyond Pokemon. He did a parody about Kylo Ren, and I really enjoyed his show. Then Luke Ski did his show, and he had a parody about The Mandalorian, brand new song, and he got to open for Lauren Mayer. Mm-hmm. Lauren Mayer made me think of you, Kevin.
Oh, is she obsessed with Robbie Wrist like I am?
I don't think she likes to talk about it, Kevin.
Yeah, but you could tell.
Yeah, well, by the other things that she mentioned.
Yeah,
so,
by her kid video t-shirt.
Yeah, that kind of gave her away. Mm-hmm. She kind of reminds me of a female Tom Lehrer.
Oh, yeah.
And she started her music and she was talking about the Brady Bunch at one point. Like, wow, I really wish Kevin could be here to see this.
See? Robbie Wrist. She's obsessed.
Yep.
That's Cousin Oliver.
And then a little later in her set, she mentioned Laverne and Shirley because she was telling us what a schlamazel was.
I've always wondered.
She has a delightful energy about her, and she's also very into women's rights and making very clever and funny, but still very clever songs advocating for women.
That's cool.
Yeah, what a great year to have her as the guest of honor.
Yeah.
After that, it was kind of a quiet evening. So I had promised Jacob a tour of the party rooms for later, because he's new to MarsCon, so I was trying to be a good hostess in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, it's an awfully weird event to bring a new person to. It must have been quite the experience for Jacob to see the Minnesota nerd convention room party scene for the first time.
He seemed to be having a good time. It was almost as if we gravitated towards Space Oddity like nothing else was there. And Dornail eventually got up and she's like, "That's it. I'm going to the Klingon room because that's Dornail for you." We didn't see her again after that.
No, and if someone enters the Klingon party room, you're not going to see them again. I know what those Klingons are up to. I've been in that room. In some ways, I never left.
There were dance rooms. There were karaoke rooms. There was a room where they were just making grilled cheese sandwiches for everybody. Yeah. There were all those rooms. And as far as Jacob was concerned, Space Oddity was the only room that existed. And then, like I said, I left him there. I get up the next morning and I'm getting ready to go down to water aerobics just in time to get a text with a picture in it from Devo Spice showing me that the pool is closed. And there's a sign on the door and it says the pool is closed until further notice.
Oh, so you're out of business then as the Dementia water aerobics instructor.
Yeah. So I decided what I needed to do was go down to the door of the pool area and just like greet everybody as they showed up and just apologize and say, you know, we hadn't planned on this. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that you made it out on a Sunday morning because Sunday morning is the hardest to get up for.
Especially if you've run into the Klingons.
Yeah. And as I am standing there sending people away, person who is working at the hotel walks up and removes the sign from the door. And I'm like, wait, what? She goes, "Oh, you're the one that runs water aerobics, right?" At which point she tells me they had the engineer of the pool come in special to treat the pool at like some wee hour of the morning so that it would be ready in time for the water aerobics class. That's how much the hotel loves us.
You had Minnesota pool people working through the middle of the night to save Dementia water aerobics.
And then they just forgot to take the signs down.
It was a Christmas miracle.
So suddenly I'm online and I'm texting people saying, "No, wait, come back." And yeah, we had to cut it short, but we still made it happen. So happy ending to that. Just enough time to gather our senses and get down to the main stage for one last show. And this is the part that you didn't tune in for, right?
I was not able to see any of the MarsCon video from Sunday, no.
So you had gotten a heads up, and it wasn't widely told, but I had a little surprise up my sleeve for one of our songs that Jacob, Dornail, and I were going to perform.
Your main concert was Friday, but then Sunday everybody comes back and does like a song or two each. So what did you do?
So I had hinted to you, and you probably like watching my Friday night show going, "Where is the USA for Africa reference?" Because I had told you.
That's right. You did tease me that you'd be doing something a little USA for Africa, We Are the World themed. Which is appropriate considering recent episodes of the Flopcast.
And before we did those shows, I had come up with this idea for my show. So it's just like both of us at the same time had been thinking USA for Africa, but for two different ways.
Yeah. Fortunately, you and I think about We Are the World all the time.
And so since you didn't get to see it, I'll tell you what we did. So we got up and we did a Jacob Holler song called Adorable Kittens. So I get to sing on one of his songs.
Oh, cool.
And that was pretty great. And then I decided to cover a Gustavo Yellow Gold song called I Jump on Cake. I picked this one because I figured, okay, well, this is going to be something that the crowd hasn't heard before. And it's really goofy. It's a song literally about jumping on cakes for fun. Then as I'm listening to it, I thought, you know what fits to this chord progression and to this rhythm? We Are the World. And so halfway through I Jump on Cake, I look at Jacob and we change the lyrics to We Are the World. The lyrics and the melody change.
All right.
So there you go. There's your little USA for Africa reference that I threw into my performance for the weekend.
Yes.
So that's MarsCon 2020 in the books.
It sounds like another successful MarsCon. Again, I regret that I've missed the last several. I do hope to return someday.
People miss you, Kevin. They're really hoping you're going to come back.
I miss them. You know, it's hard to get out to every show that I would like to be at. But I'm glad that you've been able to be out there at least to represent the Flopcast these last several years. And also, man, this year you just took over and released an album and did a whole concert, you and Jacob. So nicely done.
Thank you. And thank you for all the encouragement and for making it so, like, between doing the extra shows in advance and then doing some shows with the mayor to make it so that I'd have a little extra time to do what I needed to do.
Oh, the mayor and I had fun talking about TV shows from 1980.
You guys sounded great.
I hope everybody was not too bored by us talking about shows nobody remembers from 40 years ago. We did get a nice letter from Lee, our friend Lee.
Eclectically, right?
Eclectic Lee sent actually a nice letter about our 1980 shows. Because he remembers all that crazy old stuff from back then. He talked about Galactica 1980 and how they had flying motorcycles and 3-2-1 Contact and the Bloodhound Gang. Lee mentioned that he was very disappointed when that band came out in the 90s, the Bloodhound Gang.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out they were, you know, unrelated to the TV show. Lee actually had a story about Flo.
Oh.
Flo was the spinoff from Alice, in which Flo, the waitress from Alice, got her own show. Lee was volunteering as an usher at an event with a bunch of celebrities who were from Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And Polly Holiday, you know, Flo, was at that event. This is the part that I love, though. The guy in charge of the whole thing was trying to get her to say her Alice catchphrase, her Flo catchphrase. Kiss my grits.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what she would scream at Mel, back at Mel's Diner every week, and then the audience would just howl with delight. And they tried to get her to say it at this event, and she refused. And as someone who's been obsessed with Alice, with the sitcom Alice for the last, I don't know, 45 years, I'm thrilled to get that kind of report from Lee. So thank you, Lee, for sharing that little Polly Holiday trivia with us. That's fantastic. So yeah, I'm glad at least one listener enjoyed the mayor and I discussing TV from 1980 while you were running around Minnesota.
I liked it. I was tuned in.
I liked it too.
Good.
But meanwhile, man, I think this show's going on long enough, right?
Yeah, I didn't leave us any time to talk about our recent flop trip.
Oh, maybe next week.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you got back from MarsCon. I actually saw you. Obviously, we're very far apart right now. But we actually got together right after you got back and right before I went away.
Right.
So maybe we'll save that for next week.
I think that's a good plan.
Let's do that. Meanwhile, please get us out of here.
I really like the way you think, Kevin. Let's give the people something to get excited about coming up in these dark times. So.
Sure.
If you're trying not to think about it, I'm no help. So flopcast.net is our website, facebook.com/flopcast. And we're on Twitter, too. It's at Flopcast. And on Instagram, the_Flopcast.
That's it. All right, Cornflake, welcome back. Thanks for the update on all that happened at MarsCon. That was great. And hey, kids, you know, take a break from this madness and be silly with us when you can. Otherwise, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Cornflake, we better make this quick because I think we're running out of time tonight, but this is the Secret After Show, and it's been several weeks since you've joined us for the Secret After Show. What do you have?
I want to hint at what's ahead for the book club. And so the reason I did not say exactly what we're going to do is because I'm...
Oh, no. Is it porn? Because that'll be awkward.
Okay.
That'll be awkward.
National Awkward Day. It's a book about
porn. Okay, I forgot it was Awkward Day. All right. Perfectly appropriate then. I take it back.
Makes everything okay. Yeah. I have mentioned that a favorite comedian of mine is from Kettering in the UK, James Acaster.
Yes.
And he's put out a couple of books. Ah. And so for March, it was recommended to me by Nick that I read a James Acaster book. But there are two. So I am trying to decide which one. There's James Acaster's Classic Scrapes, and those are stories of his that I think would be perfect for National Awkward Day. On the other hand, there's his more recent book that I'm really interested in. It's called Perfect Sound Whatever, and it is a deep dive into the music of 2016. So it's going to be one of those two. I just don't know which one yet.
All right. And if your favorite comedian is Gallagher too, then get a book by Gallagher too instead.
There you go.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.